Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord to you. This is Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, where our pastor is Suffragan Bishop Johnny Magnus. And you please have to excuse me because I'm trying to work on the intro. We've been trying to get it right. And we're going to have to make another intro because he was elevated according to his office and his title. He's no longer a district elder. He is now our Suffragan Bishop. So we're going to have to work something out with that, and hopefully we can get that fixed. But why don't you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your living word. We want to thank you because your spirit is still with us today. We want to thank you because you're an everlasting Father. We ask that you open up our understanding, that you help us learn something that we did not know before. Or perhaps, Lord, learn something to help us to stay rooted and grounded on the things that we've already learned. We love you, Lord. We ask that somebody may learn, someone may repent of all of their sins and grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm really excited. We have a good topic for you this evening. I wanted to talk to you all about the holy place. Again, just talking about the holy place. And you might be asking yourself, well, where is he going with this? First off, I can't even go anywhere without acknowledging our pastor's message on Sunday morning, if not. And just to kind of recap the things that our pastor, Johnny Magnus, was talking about, you know, first he gave reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the Babylonian names of the three Hebrew boys who were tasked and given a test of being thrown into a fiery furnace. What the pastor brought out was, even if that means of escape was not given for the Hebrew boys, they were still willing to go through. He then referenced the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul in the New Testament is giving descriptions of some sort of ailment. Now, when I say descriptions, that's probably lack of a better word, because Paul really doesn't go into too much description, but the only description that is given is that there was a thorn in his side, a thorn in his flesh. And Paul never really specifically gives any detail of what that thorn is. Paul asked the Lord, you know, three times, can you remove this? Can you remove this? Whatever this trial was, whatever this test that the Apostle Paul was going through, he asked Jesus, Lord, please, please, please remove this thing from me. And what I love about the King James Version, some of the King James Versions, you'll see that even in the New Testament, after the death, burial, and resurrection, you'll notice this in Revelation as well. You'll notice this where it's giving reference to Paul, but or to Jesus, that the words are still in red, indicating that Jesus is speaking. And so, yeah, the words are still in red, but Jesus is speaking to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. So, rather than going a separate area, rather than going into a completely different direction than where our pastor and where the church was going, why not continue in that route? And again, our pastor was emphasizing the commitment that we have to have as children of God. Regardless if I'm going to be removed from this test or not, I still have to have a willingness to go through. And I know that goes against our nature, doesn't it? It goes against our flesh nature, I would say, right? Because the flesh don't like that at all, right? The flesh doesn't like going through. And so you're going to feel that pushback. You're going to feel that kickback from the flesh. The flesh doesn't like to go through, but the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you know that it's necessary for us to go through our trials and tribulations. If we want to continue to fellowship with God, we have to go through. And sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will lead us to go through. Now, notice the Spirit of God never leads us to sin, okay? But sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will lead us into the wilderness. How do I know? Because that's what happened to Jesus. Right after he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And so sometimes our spirit, again, I'm making a distinction, our spirit is not going to ever lead us to sin. It's not going to tell us to sin. It's not going to prompt us to sin. That would be against the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that God doesn't do that. God doesn't tempt us in that manner. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But there are going to be times in our life when the Holy Ghost is going to choose the difficult way. The difficult way. And that's where I want to talk about the holy place. Let's talk about the difficult way. During Jesus' earthly ministry, they could have went a different way to where they were trying to go. But instead, Jesus chose to go straight through Samaria, which was more difficult for the disciples. They were Galileans. They were of Galilee. They were of Jewish descent. And that was the more difficult route. So there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that. So let's talk today about the holy place. But first, let's go to where it all began. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" So, first of all, before I go any further, I just want to give honor. I don't know if I did that properly. I want to give honor to Jesus being the head of my life. I want to give honor also to our pastor, Suffragan Bishop Johnny Magnus, because I want to thank God for him allowing me the platform to be able to do something like this, to be able to go ahead and record and stream in a way that you're able to see the Bible class online. And it's a beautiful ministry that the church has, and we've seen some fruit here at Mount Calvary. So I just want to thank God for him, and I want to thank God for all of you as well. Okay, let's get back into the scriptures. So here you have in Genesis chapter 3, again, just let's reread it. And they heard, now it's talking about Adam and Eve. Okay, this is after they were created, so they were living beings. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" So in order for them to have heard him walk, the wording that it uses, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, there was a certain type of manifestation. There was a certain type of way that God revealed himself to Adam and Eve that they were familiar with. But something had just happened. Well, Adam had just sinned. Adam had just sinned against God. He had listened to Eve, and Eve had listened to the serpent. Eve was caught in the transgression, and the commandment was given to Adam. Adam, being a representative of humanity, he represented you and me. You might say, "Well, where has Adam ever represented me?" Well, whether you like it or not, he represented you, and he represented me in the sight of God. And Adam failed miserably. He ate of the fruit. He disobeyed God. And rather than meet with God in the cool of the day, rather than meet with God, he began to hide. And isn't that what sin does to us? So when we're in sin, we can't glorify God the way that we want to. We can't give glory to God. We can't praise God. We can't worship God the way that we want to, because our sin will not let us. I remember walking into a sanctified church as everybody, when I was younger, before I received salvation, before I received the Holy Ghost. And I remember people began to worship God. I remember how people began to sing of Jesus. People began to wave their hands and glorify God and show the Lord adoration by lifting up their hands and standing to their feet. Oh, but I was in my sin. I felt ashamed to even walk in that place. I felt ashamed to even try to sing the songs of Zion. I felt ashamed to even try to lift up my heads. All I could do was put my head down, because I knew what I have done the night before. I knew what kind of person that I was. I knew what I was involved with. I knew that my lifestyle was not pleasing God. And so I felt ashamed of myself. I felt ashamed because of my sin. That's what sin will do to you. Sin will put a shame on you. And it's a shame right now what a lot of these transgressors are doing, because now not only are they in their sin, but they have pride in their sin. And they flaunt their sin. Saints of God, we should never be like that. We should never be like that. First of all, we shouldn't be in sin in the first place, let alone flaunt it. But I just want to thank God that there was a way of escape. He doesn't want you to stay that way. He doesn't want you to remain that way. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care what situation, what you've done, what your experience is. God can make a way of escape for you if you trust him, if you believe him, if you follow after him. Have you followed after Jesus? You might say, yeah, I believe the Lord in my heart. Well, do you really believe the Lord in your heart? Do you really trust the Lord? Do you really believe him? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have to, we're striving to be in that holy place. You know, Adam and Eve were in that place, and I'm referring to the Garden of Eden, and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, where God would have fellowship with Adam and Eve, or God would once have fellowship with them. He now has to cast them out because man has chosen sin. You know, isn't that a shame when man chooses sin over God? Man chooses pleasure of the flesh over God. And we're reminded of this through the pages of Scripture, how over and over again we see men choosing the pleasures of sin over God. We see this when the choice is given to the Hebrew people. Will you choose Barabbas or will you choose Jesus? Give us, you know what he said? They chose Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas to be set free. You know, and so that should be a lesson to many of us that, you know, many times we're not going to be the people's choice. It doesn't matter what your relationship with God is. It doesn't matter how much you love the Lord. It doesn't matter how that walk is that you have with the Lord. You're not going to be the people's choice many a times. And they're not going to choose you, and they're not going to choose me. And our walk is going to be lonely sometimes. But oh, it's only going to feel like that for a moment, because we're not alone. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as. I will not leave you comfortless, but he's going to be with us. And today he's with us. His presence is with us. So the holy place. The holy place. A lot has changed in the New Testament. So if you're looking in Genesis, if you're looking in the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Bible, if you look in all the different types of books, you look in the Psalms, Proverbs, there's going to be a huge distinction between the way that they worship in the Old Testament. Is that you'd have to go into the temple. You first of all, you'd have to be of Hebrew descent. You'd have to go to the temple. You have to go to the tabernacle. There were certain divisions of the temple, certain places you couldn't go. So I want you to see, if you could sum it all up, holiness was restricted, or I should say the holy place in the Old Testament was restricted to a physical location. Okay? You had to be in a specific physical location during a period of time where God was active with his people. And you had to be in that. First of all, you had to be of a distinct origin. You had to be of a certain group of people. And because in the Old Testament, the Hebrew people were called out. They were chosen to be his people. And he chose to be with his people, but there was a certain way that he was in with those people. Well, I'm still talking about the holy place, because now we're talking about the New Testament. What are we doing in the holy place? Well, may I remind you that the holy place is still active. And this is the most important thing that we can do in our life right now. Isn't that something? What is the most, if we're not practicing this, we've missed it. In Jude, the first chapter, verse number 20, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So, beloved, the writer of Jude is writing to the church, and he is referring to them as the beloved. "I want you to build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So that lets me know that we're striving. This is what we strive for. We have to strive to stay in the holy place. It's not enough just to have the Holy Ghost. We have to keep the Holy Ghost. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to stay in the holy place. Are you in the holy place? Let's talk about the holy place. The holy place is so pleasant, but it's filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, building up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, you can't be in this holy place without having his Spirit. So if you're feeling excluded, may I remind you that there's still room at the cross for you. There's still room to repent of all your sins, to turn your back on all your sins, to change your mind about all your sins. And by faith, being baptized in Jesus' precious name and receiving the Holy Ghost, the holy place. Are you in that holy place right now? But Brother Pope, I'm driving my car right now. But are you in the holy place? Brother Pope, I'm running right now. I'm on the treadmill listening to your voice right now. But are you in the holy place? Brother Pope, I'm watching on my phone right now, and I'm standing in a physical location. Maybe you're in a grocery store. Maybe you're at a school right now. Maybe you're at a place of work, and it's your break, and you're in the break room, and maybe you're listening on your headphones. Regardless, are you in your holy place right now? Remember, saints of God, holy place is not a physical location any longer. We're not restricted to just one physical location any longer. You might say, well, Brother Pope, show me scripture. Amen. Let's go to scripture. Okay, so this is what Jesus was trying to get over during his earthly ministry, because Jesus was trying to set up. Remember, the kingdom of God is nigh. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was letting them know, look, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is approaching. The kingdom of God is near to you. And remember, we have to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order even to enter in, to see and enter into the kingdom of God. So it is that important. So I've got a long list of, well, it's a lot of scriptures, but it's in one piece. I'll read it all together. And this is the discourse that Jesus was having with the woman at the well. The woman at the well is saying, "Our Father," she's talking about, and she's claiming hold of, she's a Samaritan woman, but remember that she claims hold of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like the Hebrew people do. The difference is the Samaritans were of a mixed people, so they were Jewish and Gentile origin, but they were different, they were separate from the Jewish people. Now notice what the woman at the well says as she's talking to Jesus. Remember, she's representing the Samaritan people. Jesus is representing the Jewish people. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So there was obviously a disagreement among the Hebrew and the Samaritan people of where they were supposed to worship. The Hebrew people were claiming that Jerusalem was where they were to worship, and the Samaritan people were claiming that in this particular mountain where she was standing had a significance about it, and so she was claiming that this was where they worshiped. And notice what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse number 21. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." So there's going to be a time where you won't have to go to a physical location just to get in touch with God. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a new type of deal. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's going to be something different that is going to take place. And he says, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now that might sound kind of exclusive of Jesus, but when you look in the full context of what he's doing, he's breaking down who salvation was actually given to. Salvation was actually first given to the Jewish people. He went unto his own, right? He went unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, this does not leave a place for racism, because there are many people, many historical figures who believe that the Jewish people as a whole were completely set apart or pushed aside because of the decision that many of the Jewish people made when it came to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that is not so. If you look at the Hebrew canon, it's written by Jewish Hebrew people, the majority Hebrew people. When you look at the New Testament, well, the majority written by Hebrew people. When you look at the apostles and the prophets, Hebrew people, the majority of them Hebrew people. So there are some that says, well, because the Jewish people, he came unto his own and his own received him not, that means that they are totally excluded. No, not so. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Gentile. In today's time, you have access to salvation. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, that's the hour that we're in right now, brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying that right now. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh." He's looking for such people. He's looking for people like this to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Again, this evening, we're talking about the holy place. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you utilizing the Holy Ghost? Or are you sitting somewhere mad this evening? You're mad at your spouse. You're mad at your husband. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at what's going on with society. You're mad with the economy. You're mad at the president. You're mad at the former president. You're mad at everybody. You're mad at your job. You're mad at your employer. You're mad. You're mad. Aren't you happy? Everybody's mad. I'm happy in Jesus right now. There are times to be angry. It's called righteous indignation. There's nothing wrong with being angry with sin. Oh, that's what the Holy Ghost will do. The Holy Ghost will give you anger, a certain level of anger against wrong, a certain level of anger against injustice. Oh, but the Holy Ghost is more than just anger against unrighteousness. It's love, joy, and peace. We want to see that. You'll find it in the holy place. Are you in that holy place? Are you praying? Did you pray this morning? Did you pray? Do you pray in the morning? Do you pray in the afternoon? Do you pray in the evening? Do you pray? When we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're in the holy place. The holy place is precious. This is where we strive to be. This is where the devil normally stops us from trying to get to. He does not want you and me in the holy place. And again, when I'm talking about holy place, I'm not talking about a necessary physical location as Jesus brought out. No, we're not talking about a physical location. We're talking about a spiritual location in Jesus. Oh, let's keep talking about this spiritual location. Paul wrote about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let's break that down. You want to be blessed? I'm talking about really blessed. Now, there's no scripture that says blessed is he who scratcheth the ticket, okay? I'm talking about some real blessings. You want some real blessings? You want to be blessed? You want your family to be blessed? Check this out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. So who is the us? Who is the us that we're talking about? Is it just the church? Yes. But look at who he's referring to in the church. Us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So again, if you want to stay in that holy place, stay in that holy place. Stay in that holy. Don't ever leave the holy place. Adam left that holy place. Couldn't anybody just fellowship with God like that? That was a special, unique role and responsibility for Adam and Eve. They were supposed to tend to the garden. Eve was supposed to be his helpmeet. And they were supposed to take care. And while they were doing that, while they were fulfilling what God had them to do, God fellowshiped with them. God spoke with them. And they, you know, there was a beautiful, blessed communication, right? And now that we are brought back and reconciled to Jesus Christ, I should say reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, because God was in Christ Jesus and he reconciled the world unto himself. So we are now able to have fellowship with God again. So now when I walk into that a church, I don't have to put my head down any longer because of the things, the filth that I was thinking in my own thoughts, and I was all the garbage thoughts and the things that I used to say. Now I don't have to go ahead and not clap and keep my hands down by my side while everybody is clapping and singing the praises of God. I'm looking down embarrassed. Now I can wave my hands and praise God because I'm free. I'm not burdened down by sin any longer because I'm not living in any sin that I know of because the Lord blessed me to be in heavenly places. Now, isn't that something? Notice what I just said, any sin that I know of, because God, keep praying. Because sometimes we have blind spots. We have blind areas. And we need to ask God to reveal these blind spots and blind areas in our life. And when the Lord does, we need to be able to accept his reproof. Sometimes these blind spots will be revealed from our spiritual leaders when they preach on a Sunday morning. I'm just giving you an example. When your pastor preaches on something that you or I may be doing, this is an example of something that's being exposed for a reason. It's not used to condemn us, okay? But the Holy Ghost will convict us. There's a difference, okay? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you read, what is it, Romans chapter number 8. So we got to understand that in Christ there's a liberty. We have liberty. Now, if there's something that we're doing wrong, we repent. We get it right. And what I mean by that is along the way, there's going to be people that rub us the wrong way. There's going to be people that say things that we don't like, our own brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we get it right. We work through it because that's what a family does. Well, some good stuff, isn't it? The holy place. Are you in that holy place right now? Are you in that holy place? Let's stay in that holy place. Isn't that holy place wonderful? You know what you can do in that holy place? You can pray in that holy place. You can meditate on God in that holy place. You can sing songs, spiritual hymns. Notice spiritual hymns, not any worldly hymns and just old anything. And we can sing spiritual hymns and songs in heavenly places. But I want you to see that the Apostle Paul was referring to those, the beloved, that were in a holy place, or I should say heavenly places. And in this type of situation, it's basically the same thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The reason why you and I sometimes don't have access to the Bible refers to it as spiritual blessings, you're not going to get a spiritual blessing if you're not in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not going to get a spiritual blessing if I'm not staying in a heavenly place. So we have to stay in that holy and heavenly place. We have to stay in that place. Well, how do we get there? Well, we've got to fast. We've got to deny the flesh. But it hurts when I fast. It's supposed to. Well, I get headaches when I fast. You're supposed to get a headache. Well, I don't believe in that. That's torture. Well, it's not going to, you know, if it's such torture, then how come the medical doctors tell us and suggest to us to go on a fast before they do some sort of examination or diagnosis or some sort of test to, you know, to clear our bodies and so that they can review and look at different things? So if it's good enough for the doctors, it should be good enough for the Lord, right? So when we deny ourselves, just understand there's certain things you can't do. And I'm not just talking about just going without food. There's many different other faiths and different religions that believe in fasting, but they don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I doubt they're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I, brothers and sisters, when we're in heavenly places, when we're in our secret holy place, nothing can stop us. Nothing can shake us. When you're in the holy place, you're continually led by the Spirit. Saints, we have to strive to stay in the holy place. The devil is going to try to stop us from getting to the holy place. And the devil will use anybody to try to stop us to get to the holy place. Yes, I'm talking ultimately about heaven, but we should have heaven already inside of us, and we should already be in heavenly places in a sense already. The manifestation has just not taken place yet. And so we have to strive to stay in that holy place. We have to try to stay in a spiritual place. We have to try to strive to stay following after Jesus. And there's going to be things that try to knock us off track. But no, again, going back to what Paul was saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So if you want spiritual blessings, where you're going to find those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But if we're not praying and we're not fasting, how are we going to be blessed with spiritual blessings? Now, there's a lot of people looking for natural blessings, but let me tell you the secret of natural blessings. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus tells the disciples that when you pray in secret, he will bless you openly. Now, does that mean that everybody who has actual open blessings, maybe a nice car, two or three houses, a millionaire, billionaires, does that mean that everybody's praying in secret? Absolutely not. No. Because some people, just like the pastor said Sunday, some people got and received those houses and those cars and that money illegally. And they did those things outside the will of God. And in actuality, they're cursed according to the word of God. But when we pray in secret, God will bless us openly. All I'm trying to say is, saints, we got to stay in the holy place. We got to stay in the holy place. Well, I believe in living right, and I believe in telling people about their sins, and I believe, okay, that's fine, and I'm glad you believe in living right. We should live right. In fact, that's our reasonable service. That's the basics. But are you in the holy place? But I got the Holy Ghost. But are you being led by the Holy Ghost? Well, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 15 years old. But are you led by the Holy Ghost? Do you listen to the Spirit? I encourage you to pray, saints of God. But Brother Pope, when I pray, it's boring to me. I'm not interested in it. You have to, well, my answer to you would be, it takes some type of practice as well. Practice. Going to, how can I say that? In your home, is there a place in your home where you can retreat and focus on the scriptures and pray? Is there, when you're driving in your car, you're listening to spiritual hymns and spiritual songs, that will help get you into a spiritual atmosphere. That will help allow you to meditate on the goodness of God. It's hard to meditate on the goodness of God when all you hear is profanity, when all you hear is foolishness, when all you hear are things, ungodliness. I'm not saying it's impossible. Obviously, it's not, because we're going to go through our tests. And when all these things are happening, we're going to have to retreat spiritually to a holy place, that our heavenly places. But we should not be willingly putting ourselves in harm's way all the time. That's not good, you know. When Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and it used to be a blessed place. I mean, they were prosperous. It used to be fine to the eyes to see. They must have had some type of significance for Abraham's nephew Lot to try to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. But when God began punishing Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he tell Lot and his wife? Get away from there. I mean, him and his family, they had to get away from there. He didn't leave them there. He tried to lead them away from there. And then Lot's wife turned around, and she turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed God. She turned around. Remember Lot's wife. I believe the reason in scripture, while the writer says to remember Lot's wife, it's because there was going to be situations where we'd be tempted to do the same thing that Lot's wife did, and that's to turn around. Once you're in your holy place, stay in the holy place. Stay in your holy place. You know what I love about the holy place? Have you ever noticed that when you get two people who are prayed up, you're not going to have a bunch of arguing? They may not agree on everything, but at least there's a mutual understanding. There's a mutual connection. There's a mutual, dare I say, even fellowship that happens when two people, at least two people, are praying. Maybe this is why the Lord says, and according to the scriptures, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Because when you have two prayerful people who are each considering one, you got one person who is being respectful of the other person, and the other person is being respectful of that person, well, you're not going to have a lot of problems, because our goal is to stay spiritual. Our goal is to stay in the heavenly places. Let's not make the mistake that Adam made. Let's not make the mistake that Lot's wife made. Let's not make the mistake that so many have made, but let's stay in the holy place. Now, when I refer to Lot's wife, again, she looked back. When we're in our holy place, we shouldn't have to look back and being enticed by sin and follow after it and be led down the wrong path. You can be saved today if you want to. You can be strong in God if you want to. Hopefully, this is the beginning of a beautiful life of holiness. Maybe this is the first time you listening to a message like this. God will clean you up. I don't care if you have a drug habit, a gambling habit. I don't care if you have, huge patterns of ungodliness that are generational. That means past your generation. Maybe your mother, your father dealt with this. Your grandparents dealt with this, and now you're dealing with the same situation. Well, don't you know God can free you from that? You don't have to do that any longer. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than genetics. Amen? Genetics looks at just your natural father, your natural mother. The Holy Ghost places emphasis on your heavenly father. our everlasting Father. And isn't he our everlasting Father? Stay in the holy place. Don't leave the holy place. Stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. When your eyes are on Jesus, and when your eyes are really on Jesus, you're on the right track of staying in the holy place. When Peter moved his eyes off of the Lord, he fell in the water. Let's not take our eyes off the Lord. Let's stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. So those are all the scriptures that I have this evening. I don't really have anything other than that. Just a reminder, just stay in the holy place. Stay in that holy place. Stay prayerful. You know, keep fasting. And that's all I just want to leave you with this. Well, depending on when you're watching this, it could be morning, afternoon, or evening. But stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. Don't move from the holy place. People are going to try to antagonize you. People are going to try to incite you. You know, stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. You got a blessing coming if you stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. Stay in the holy place. Did I emphasize that enough? Stay in the holy place. The power of the Holy Ghost will allow you to stay where you and I need to be. You can stay in the holy place while you're driving your car. When somebody cuts you off, you can be in the holy place. When somebody talks about you, you can stay in the holy place. When somebody looks at you wrong, you can stay in the holy place. Saints, according to the Word of God, we're going to be going through more and more and more things. If we can't take the basic things, where are we going to be? Well, I just want to leave you with that. Stay in the holy place. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be in heavenly places right now in your name. Thank you for allowing us to be in this holy place. Lord, this holy place is you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing the Holy Ghost to be in us, to be led by you, to want more of you, to want more strength, to want more wisdom, to want more direction. We don't want to go our own way. We don't want to make any decisions based on temporary emotions. But Father, we stand on you, Lord, on your promises, on your word, and we're willing to do what you want us to do. Help us to stay in the holy place so that we can be used of you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope that this helped someone this evening. And remember, saints, stay in the holy place. God bless you.